Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Durham Daf Peches. We begin a little bit more than halfway down Peches Amud Aleph with the brand new Mishnah. The Mishnah starts and tells us Hamadir Hanoah. Now the Girsa that we have is Mechasono, which means that the person is making a neder that his son-in-law is also to get Hanoah from him. That's a little bit problematic with the wording the way we have it. So if you look in the Hagos, it's Yunam Osalef. He says it should be Lechasono. So a person is Asrin Hanoah onto his son-in-law. Not a great way to start off a marriage, but those are the facts. Alternatively, Hagos Tzionim brings down that the Girsa should be Hamadir Chasono Hanoah Mimenu. That he, this way, directly states it, that he's asking his son-in-law to get Hanoah from him. And in this situation, the Mishnah continues, who wrote, so Losseis Lebitomos, but he still wants to give his daughter stuff. He wants to give his daughter money. The Ran points out in Dibur HaMaskel, Hanoah de Hanoah Mechasono, he says, Ha de Toni Mos, it specifically mentions money over here, Mishum de Iyahiv Lo Mizonos, because if he were to give her food, then there is no problem at all. Ain't Sorech Lomar Lo Klum, he doesn't have to tell her anything. Because Lefi She'ein Labal Zechiyah Behen, because the husband has no Zechusim in food that the father gives his daughter. And let's see the Mishnah further. So, Hamadir Hanoah, so Hanoah Mechasono, who wrote, Lechteis Lebito Mos, if a man wants to give his daughter money, even though he's asked his son-in-law to get benefit from it, and normally anything that the wife acquires, the husband also has rights to, and therefore this would be benefiting his son-in-law if he were to give his daughter money. So how can he do this in a way that won't break the neder? So the Mishnah tells us, Omer lo, the man has to say the following to his daughter. He says, Harei hamos ha'elu nesunim loch b'matana. He says two things. He says, the money that I'm giving to you is given to you as a matana with the two caveats. Ubuvad shlo yehei lebaalech rishus ben. Number one, that your husband doesn't have any rishus in this money. And then, the way we'll learn in the Gemara, our Mishnah is Rav Meir, this then also requires a second statement, a second caveat, elamasha at noses v'nosenes befich. And this money will be used for you to go and buy things with it that you put into your mouth. In other words, food, and in this way your husband will have no right to it. But if he only were to say one of these two, according to Rav Meir, who we'll see is the author of our Mishnah, so then it wouldn't work. The son-in-law would then still get that zechus in the money that was given to the daughter of his father-in-law and his wife, and therefore, in this situation, the father-in-law would be giving Hanoah to the son-in-law, and it wouldn't be allowed. So again, let's see this inside in the Ran, because he goes through it in a little bit of detail. It's a long Ran, but let's continue picking up what we just read in the Ran. Dibra Maskel, Hanoder Hanoah. And we'll pick up from the last of the medium-sized lines in the Ran with the words where it says, Sharei afilu nosan lo habal mezonos haktsuvim lo. Even if the husband gives his wife exactly the amount of mezonos that he's required to give her, vitzim tzama, the Hosira, and she was very frugal, and she had left over from the amount that her husband had to give her. Nevertheless, ein lo labal b'oso moser klum. The husband doesn't get that back, so to say. So he's required to give her a certain amount of food each week, a certain amount of money each week to support herself. And if she's frugal and she saves some money from that, that belongs to her and it doesn't go back to the husband, as the Gemara in Nazir will teach us. Kedama v'perek misha amar hareini Nazir. The Gemara in Nazir coming up the next Masechta. We're very, very close to starting that. And it says there, b'dekomtso me'isoso, kol shekein b'shezona acher. And if she's able to not give it back to her husband from the stuff that he gave her, so certainly if somebody else gives her mezonos, she'ein lo lebal shum zuchus b'osor ha'mezonos ha'ktsuvulo. So the husband doesn't have any entitlement to that food that she's given by somebody else. And therefore, that's why in our Mishnah, Mishum Hachi Tani, that's why it said in our Mishnah, Vurotze Laseis Lebito Mos. Okay, so this again explains why specifically we're dealing here with Mos. Now, Ryan continues, he says the purpose of giving her the Mos, Shum Mitsuyin Lahotzi Oson Bechafatzeha, that she should be able to go and purchase it what she wants. Ubechi Haigavda, if in this situation the husband is not to get the rights in that money, so Yeshlo Labal Zuchus Bem, he normally would have Zuchus in them. As the Chesed Kabbat tells us, the Amrin and Hossam, it says over there, Yilokach Bem Karka, normally if somebody gives a gift to the wife, so the husband has the right to go and take that gift, go purchase karka with it, which the wife will own, Vabal Ocho Peros, and the husband would be entitled to the, what we call the usufruction rights, the peros of that karka. And therefore, Nimtso Zenenem Mechomiv, in this situation, if the father-in-law were to give his daughter money, so the husband would have the right to go and take that money and use it to purchase karka, which then he would benefit from the payers of it. And this is going to break the nether. Shidiru hanah. The father-in-law said, no, you can't get hanah from me. Therefore, in order for this not to be a breaking of the nether, lefikach tzara shomalo, the father has to tell his daughter, hariha mos elu nesunim loch bimatana, and then the two caveats, ubuvad shelo ye balecha rishus b'hem, number one, Ela, number two, mashat no senes leficha, and you have to go and use this for food to put it into your mouth. Vidafka de omar lo hani tre lishne, he must specify these two lishonos that we just said. Avol, however, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, if he were to just say, omar, ein lebalech rishus behen bilchud, if he would just say, I'm giving you this present and your husband doesn't have any rights to them, lo mahani, that will not work, and the husband still would be entitled to it. The Masnis and Rabbi Meir, as I already pointed out, and the Ran points out over here, we'll see this in the Gemara in a moment, our Mishnah is altered by Rabbi Meir, and he holds the Amar Yad Isha Ki Yad Bala, that anything that the woman acquires automatically goes to her husband. Kidemuki lo b'gemara, as the Gemara will teach us. Now, and maybe you're going to say v'chitema, imkain, ki Amar lo nami, so then why, if he says the second statement over here, only what I'm giving you doesn't go to your husband, and whatever you put in your mouth, so then it is okay, it doesn't break the nether. The reason why that does work, even though Rabbi holds Yad Isha Ki Yad Bala, Mishum Dekivon, She'ein Isha Zoche Ben Chosim Klal, Ad She'titein Osom Lesoch Pia. Since in this situation, it doesn't belong to her, and therefore it can't belong to her husband, until she actually puts it in her mouth. That was the caveat, that the second caveat that the father had said. Therefore, Harevi Osa Shah, at that moment she puts it in his mouth, in her mouth, Ein Abal Yocho Lizakos Behen, the husband cannot go and acquire it. And therefore, Lefiza Dafka, according to Rav Meir's understanding of the author of our Mishnah, the Ran's understanding of Remeir, ki amar lo, when he says both of these two statements, including the second part, mashat no senes lepicha, in that situation, there's no acquisition by the husband at all, and therefore the neder that the father-in-law had said to his son-in-law, you can't get any hanah from me, isn't broken. However, avol, I amar lo, if he says to her, el mashat miskase uchayotibo, if he says to her, this is not belonging to your husband, and belongs to you to cover yourself up, means by clothing or something like that, lo mahani, then it won't work. V'koni yason bal, and the husband will have acquired it, and the nether will have been broken. However, the Ran then concludes, he says, v'ikaman diyomah du hadin v'shiyicha don lo le'ezu dover, shiyel delo kone yason bal. There is another opinion that says it's not just food, as long as the father-in-law said, you're given this, it doesn't belong to your husband, and you can buy clothing with it. Or you're given this, and you can buy pots and pans with it. Kiven sha'af lo lo tikno legami, since it wasn't hers totally, she only had the rights limited to go and buy a dress with it, to go and buy a pot with it, and also double provide. So then there is an opinion that says that it wasn't only mashat no se slepicha, but as long as there was a second statement that specified usage, so there's this opinion that the Ran brings down, the ikuman the omar, that would say that that would also not break the net. Bottom line is, this Mishnah, as we'll see in a moment, is the opinion, the more we'll say, of Rav Meir, that requires two statements here. The first one is that it doesn't belong to your husband, and the second one either has to be very, very specific, or at least has to be specific enough, according to the second opinion in the Ran, that it will not ever go into the husband's possession, and the nether won't be broken. Okay, that was a mouthful, but let's start the Gemara. Amar Rav, the Gemara says, Rav tells us, Lo shanu elo di amar lo, mashat no seisu no seisu v'fich, that you must have that second statement according to the Tana of our Mishnah. It's not enough to say it just doesn't belong to your husband. I'm only giving it to you. It doesn't belong to your husband. But you must have the second statement, either very, very specific, mashat no seisu no seisu v'fich, or something similar to that according to the second version of the Ran. Abul Amar, if all the father said was, mashat tirtzi asi, do with it whatever you want, it doesn't belong to your husband, and do with it whatever you want, then even the second opinion of the Ran, and certainly the first opinion of the Ran, would say that the husband gets it, yad isha, yad bala, and therefore, in this situation, it would be a breaking of the nether. Mashatirtzi asi, if he says, would do with it whatever you want, kana yason bala, the husband does acquire it, and the nether would be broken. That's Rav's opinion. Now, Ushmuel Omer, Shmuel teaches us, no, afilu Omer, as long as he adds a second statement, Shmuel's not arguing with Rav. as you can see in the Ran and Dibur Masu Shmuel Amar, which is found on Peches Amud Beis, Shmuel lo polig ad Rav the Perusha de Mas Nisan. He's not arguing with Rav on the understanding of the Mishnah, the modele vadai, that Shmuel agrees with Rav de Mas Nisan. Our Mishnah is telling us, Yom Ma'asha Tirtzi Asi lo Mahani. He agrees that if that's what the father said to his daughter, do with it whatever you want, even Shmuel agrees that that doesn't work according to the Tanah of our Mishnah. Ela Bedina hu de poligalei. Shmuel is arguing on how we paskin with Rav. The Rav Moki Masnisan Karev Meir, as we'll see in a moment, Rav holds it on Mishnah is the opinion of Rav Meir, the Omar Yad Ishok Yad Bala, and that the husband acquires what his wife acquires unless those two very specific statements are made. The Savar Lo Kabosik, and Rav paskins like that. Umishamachi Pasik Yomar, the Omar Lo Masha Tirtzi Asi Kono Yason. If the father just made the second statement to be, do with it whatever you want, the husband doesn't have rights to it, and do with it whatever you want, then no. According to Rav, we paskin like Rav Meir, that it belongs to the Baal, kona yason Baal. Whereas Shmuel holds, Shmuel, vade modele de masnis and hochik tani. He doesn't argue that that's the interpretation of the Mishnah, like Rav Meir. Ella, the polig ale, where Shmuel argues with Rav, is bedina in how we paskin. Mishum de svirle, the hilchasok rabbanan, because Shmuel holds that we paskin not like Rav Meir, but like the rabbanan. The lo aminim, they don't hold yad ishuk yad bala, and therefore, as we'll see, hilchach, he amala mashatir tziasi. If the father says to the daughter, this money is yours, it doesn't belong to your husband, do with it whatever you want, that works according to the Chachamim, and therefore the neder is not broken because the husband doesn't acquire it. Alternatively, Inami, if the father would say, Amanas shein lebalach rishus behen belechud, even if he says that it shouldn't belong to your husband, and that's all he says, the chi hadadi ninu mahani, that also works, not a problem, that also works, and there is no breaking of the nether, it belongs just to the wife and not to the husband. So the Gemara is telling us over here, this machlokas Rav Shmuel is a machlokas in psak halacha, but not in the actual facts of the Mishnah. They're all in agreement that this is Rav Meir, and that Rav Meir requires the two statements, either like the first version of the Rav, that it's extremely specific, what you put into your mouth, or like the second version that the Ron brings down, that it means it has to be very specific, but as long as it's specific, that you should buy clothing with it, you should buy pots with it, whatever he's telling you to buy with it, and it doesn't belong to the husband, both of the statements, so then it works not to break the nether. So therefore, when Shmuel says, Ushmuel Omer, afilu Omer, mashatir tiyasi, lo kone yasum baal, he is holding like the Chachamim, and this is Psak Halacha. Now, how do we end up paskening? You jump down on Peches Amud Beis to the Ron, Dibra Maskul Ulin Halacha. So here we have a major machlokis amongst the poskim. So the Ran first brings down Posak Hanogid Rabbeinu Shmuel. Shmuel Hanogid tells us, Alevi B'shem Rav Amram Gon, in the name of Rav Amram Gon, and he says, Da Halacha Ki Shmuel. Here we pass like Shmuel. Even though this is a machlokis in Issa V'Heter. And normally we have the rule of a Kayin. We paskin Rav versus Shmuel. We paskin like Rav b'Isurim k'Shmuel b'Dine. So here, this is Isurim. So therefore, we should paskin like Rav based upon the rule. So afilu hachi, nevertheless, kivon the ikor pluksayu b'Dina taya. Since the ultimate nafkamina over here is in the din, is this his or is this not his? So even though it's talking about nedarim, which is Isura, but the din is totally in who owns the money. So therefore, he says we paskin here like Shmuel. And that's what he tells us. Bedina taya, iamrin yad ishik yad bala, olo. Do we say the money belongs to her or the money belongs to her husband? That's din. And therefore, naktino kishmuel, duchos kvasi bedine. And therefore, he says, that's why Rabbeinu Shmuel Halevi, in the name of Rav Amangon, paskin like Shmuel. Now, furthermore, the ode, the Rav Kerav Meir, Ushmuel Kerabon. Another reason why he passes like Shmuel is because Rav is going like the Das Yochid of Rav Meir, and Shmuel is going like the majority opinion of the Chachamim. And therefore, Hilchach Nachtinon Kavasayah. That's another reason why we pass in here like Shmuel over Rav. Furthermore, if you look down in the Ran, he brings down about 5 or 6 lines down. He says, Abol Rabbeinu Tam the Raivid, both the Rabbeinu Tam and the Raivid, Pasku Karat. They hold like Rav again, because this is a machlokas in Isura. Mishum de Pluksayu Hocha Gabi Nedarim, the Isura Ninu, since this is a machlokas in Isura Veheta, and therefore, Vakaim Lon, Dilchus Karat, Bas, Bisura. So therefore, they pass in like Rav, even though it's Rav Meir. Well, if he's there, lo mahani. And therefore, according to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid, unless the father says both of the conditions, ki amalo amnash ein lebalik mishus ben, number one, elamashat no says vifich, number two, otherwise we don't say that the money belongs to the daughter, but the money would belong to the husband, and the nether would be broken. We have a third opinion the Ran brings down. That's the Rambam. But Rambam Zal made Sa'esa Derech. He takes the middle approach. So looks like there's only two approaches here. Either you're passing like Rav and Rav Meir, or you're passing like Shmuel and the Chachamim. But the Rambam says no. Shepasak is Shmuel. He passes like Shmuel. El Shekosav Dilish Shmuel. He has a different understanding of Shmuel. Nami Tartibin. He says Shmuel also holds that you need two. What two? Amanashi and Lebalach Rishus, number one. And number two, Umashi Tirtzi Asi. And you also have to have another statement. Do with it whatever you want. If you just say it doesn't belong to your husband, even Shmuel would say that that's not good enough and it would belong to the husband. But as long as you add some second statement, even a very general one, do with it whatever you want, not at all specific, that still will work according to the Rambam. And that's why he passes like Shmuel. Because that's what he holds. Shmuel's opinion is that that works. And as far as the Rav Shmuel, behopling it, this is what Rav Shmuel are actually arguing about. The Rav Savar, the Nokamastisin, Shat no senes lefichach, davkuhu, has to be very specific type, either again like the first version of the Ran or the second version of the Ran, how specific it has to be, but it has to be specific. Velishna achrina, lo mahani bay, and if you don't use a specific lashon, it won't work. The Omar Nami, Mashatir Tsiasi, and if you say, do with it whatever you want, that's not specific at all. And Rav holds, in that situation, the husband would acquire it. Whereas Shmuel holds, Shmuel Savar, the Lav Dafka, that you don't have to have any specificity, but as long as you have a second statement, do with it whatever you want, is also good enough. According to the Rambam, even Shmuel holds, you have to have two statements. It doesn't belong to your husband, and something else. Do with it whatever you want, is good, according to Shmuel, but not good according to Rav. Okay, we jumped ahead a little bit to the Halacha L'maaseh, a very interesting discussion. Now let's go back to the Gemara. We're on the last line of Pei Ches Amud Aleph, Maskif Lo Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira asks on Rav the following Shalom. We turn to Pei Ches Amud Beis now. Kiman Az Lohosh Maaseh the Rav. According to whose opinion does Rav go? Rav Meir. Rav is teaching in accord with Rav Meir. Because Rav Meir's opinion is the Omer Yad Isha Ki Yad Bala, that the wife's hand is essentially the husband's hand. In other words, whatever comes into the wife's possession goes into the husband's possession. Now, we had discussed this as well many, many times during Ksuba's discussions, and that is that the wife has the right, the way we paskin is the wife has the right to say, listen, I don't want that arrangement. This arrangement is done for the protection of the wife. The wife, in most of the time, in those days, did not earn an income, did not have outside financial resources, and therefore was at the mercy of the world in terms of finances. So therefore, the rabbi said, your husband is required to support you, and he will give you set amounts of money and resources that you can survive. And therefore, to make that into an equitable type of a marriage in terms of fairness, he's also therefore entitled to any income that you bring in, anything that you get. That's Yad Isha Ki Yad Bala. But the woman says, listen, I make more money than you. I'm financially successful. I don't want that relationship. I'll take my own money, you keep your money, and things are like that. That's fine. That's perfectly good the way we paskin. There's an opinion that says it's not good. We paskin that, in fact, that is the right of the woman to go and say, I don't wish to be supported by you, and you're not going to get my support. And therefore, in that situation, Yad Isha is not Kiyad Bala. But in the normal default situation, Rabbi Meir holds Yad Isha Kiyad Bala. So that's the way Rav has understood our Mishnah, based upon Rabbi Meir. But now we question this. Uraminu, we seem to have a different understanding of Rabbi Meir from the following. But the following Mishnah, this Mishnah tells us, Ketzad Mishtatvim B'movoy. This is a Mishnah that we have in Erevin that talks about Shituf Mavoyos. If you remember back to Erevin, not that long ago, but it was a while ago, in the middle of the epidemic, and we learned there that if a person wishes to carry within a Mavoy, so all the Chatzerim in the Mavoy, all the people living in those Chatzeros in the Mavoy, had to go and participate in a Shitu Mavoyos, which is similar to a Erev Chatzeros. So, how did you go and do this? You had to have everybody be, quote, partners in something. Everybody had to have a joint meal put away for them. So how did you do this? So one person could go, Ketzad Mishtatvim B'Mavoy, how do you go make the Shituf Mavoyos? This is what we do in our communities. There's a box of matzah in the Vod, of the Rabbanim's possession or in one of the rabbi's houses, that is this sheet of Mavayis for the community that has an Erev. So, Meniach HaSachavis, they would do with the barrel of wine. Rashi in Gittin tells us, She Hayayin Bisocha L'Shituf, the Stam Shituf B'Yayin. And they would have wine in this barrel, and the typical way, it wasn't a box of matzahs, they would have a barrel of wine. That would also last for a while, and therefore you didn't have to worry about was the Shituf a barrel extant or not. It would last for a while. So they would take this barrel of wine, Meniach HaSachavis with wine inside of it, the Omer, and the person who put it there would say, Harei Zel Chobnei Mavoi. So this one person would, on behalf of the entire Mavoi, say, this barrel of wine now belongs to the entire Mavoi. But how did he transfer from his possession to the entire Mavoi's possession? All the people living in that Mavoi, how did he transfer to their possession? So he would have somebody be mezaked on their behalf. A person can be mezaka for someone else. You have the principle of Zochin La'adam Shalom B'fanav. You can go and acquire something for a benefit of somebody else. If it's a zchus for them, you can be Zoch of them, even though they're not there. So one person will be Zoch on behalf of the entire people living in the Mavoi, and he'll be Mezaka on their behalf, this ownership in the Battle of Wine, Mezaklehen. Now, who can he do this with? So you can do this other person to be Mezaka on behalf of all the Mavoi, can be a Eved Ivri, Aide Abdo Vishivchoso Ivrim, because they are separate entities, Evid or Ivri or Omoho Ivriya, they do not belong to their master. They are a separate entity, and whatever they get doesn't automatically belong to their master. So therefore, they can be Mizak on behalf of everybody else in the Shituf, in the Mavui. The Aide Beno Ubito Agdolim, if he has children that aren't dependent upon him, Beno Ubito Agdolim doesn't literally mean above the age of Bar Mitzvah, it means that they're not dependent upon his table, and therefore they're a separate entity as well. And it says there in Erevin, Va'al Yedei Ishto, and his wife can be Mezaka on behalf of everybody else. But wait a second, if you're telling me Rav Meir's Shita is Yad Isho Ki Yad Bala, V'yamris Kono Yatson Bala, if you're telling us in our Mishnah here that if the father gives it to the daughter, the husband automatically gets it, so then the wife is the same Rishus as the husband, so then how could the wife be Mezaka on behalf of everybody else in the Mavi? Erev Lo Nofik Mi Rishusei Debal. The barrel of wine never left his Rishus and was not able to be given over to everybody else because it never left his Rishus. His wife is his Rishus. So the Gemara says, it seems to be a kasha on Rav's understanding of Rav Meir. In our Mishnah, he seems to say Yad Ishok Yad Bala, and the Mishnah Erevin seems to say that it's not Yad Ishok Yad Bala. They allow the wife to be Mezaka on behalf of everybody else. So Amar Rav, Rav says, no, it's not a problem. Afagav, the Amar Rebbe Meir, Yad Ishok Yad Bala, even though Rav is correct in saying that Rav Meir's sheet in our Mishnah is Yad Ishok Yad Bala, nevertheless, even Rav Meir is molded by the case of the Shituf Mavoyos, molded Rav Meir, the Inyan Shituf, that the Kibon de Lezakos Liacherim Hu Miad Bala Zachya. Since she's not really acquiring it for herself, she's getting it from her husband. It's as if the husband is giving her a matana, the Ran explains. If the husband is giving her a matana, so then obviously belongs to her. So too over here, it's as if the husband is giving her a matana to be mezakeh on behalf of everybody else in the sheet of mevayos, and therefore miyad balo zakeh. She can acquire it on behalf of all the other people from her husband. So even though normally Rav Meir's opinion is the yad isha kiyad bala, as Robert explained in our Mishnah here, nevertheless, the Mishnah in Erevin isn't a contradiction to that. The reason Robert explains why the wife in that situation could be Mizak on behalf of everybody else is because it is a present that her husband gave her, and therefore he doesn't retain the rights in it, just like any present that the husband gives to the wife, the husband doesn't retain the rights into it, and therefore she's able in that situation to be Zochid on behalf of all of the people in the Mavui. And you can see this in the Ran and Dibur Maskil Moder Rav Meir. And the Ran says, did he grant the Amar Rav Meir the Ein Kinyan Leisha below Bala? He holds Yad Isha Kiyad Bala. That's true. Hani Mili Hechel Diyoev Lo Acher Matana. That is true. Only in regards to somebody else giving her Matana, that then belongs to the husband. Avo Rav Meir is Modehu. The Baal Shenosan Matana Lishto. If the husband gives his wife a present, Konsa, that she gets it, then about Ocho Peros. And the husband's not entitled to it. So if the husband gives his wife a summer home, so then she gets to rent it out. She gets to do with it whatever she wants. It's hers. The parents belong to her. Can I mean a pair of chesed batzes? More than Bava Batza tells us. The lo shamina leila Rav Meir depolik b'ha. We don't find that Rav Meir argues with that, so Mustama Rav Meir agrees with it. And therefore, Hilkach, in this situation, Rav explains, ha chanami, kivin de baal, mikomakom, ha komafik le mirushuse, afalpi she'eno nosin lo mamish, even though it's not a real gift that he's giving it to her, but he's taking it out of his rishus, this barrel of wine, and giving it to her to acquire on behalf of all the other people, elazakos es acherim. So in this situation, even Rav Meir is moda de zachya. Kach nirviena. That's the Ran's understanding over here. However, we go back to the Gemara now. Ravina doesn't like this. Esri Ravina Ravashi. Ravina asks Ravashi, wait a second. Elusha Zochalem, we have another Brisa which says seemingly opposite of this. This other Brisa says that the following people could be Mizaka on behalf of the rest of the people of the Mavoi. So, for example, Ayadeh Beno Bito Agdolim, as we had said in our mission in Erevin. So, children that aren't dependent upon his table, so they're able to be mezaken on behalf of everybody else. The Abdom Shivchas Oivirim, the Eved or the Shivcha that are Jewish, they don't belong to the master, and therefore they are a separate entity and can acquire it on behalf of all the people in the Mavoi, and that's it. The Elusha Ein Zochlem, the following are examples of people that are not able to acquire on behalf of the Mavoi, and the first two aren't in our interest, but we'll read them anyway. Ayadeh Beno Bito Aktanim, if they're dependent upon him, they're on his table, so they're not a separate entity, or of Ado Shivchas HaKenanim, that are considered his property, and therefore the Eved and the Shivcha HaKenanim are not able to acquire it on behalf of anybody else, fine. And now we come to the question that Ravina asked Ravashi. Here it says in the Brisa of Ishto, his wife is not able to acquire it on behalf of everybody else. So we have a steer between this Brisa and the Mishnah. So the Gemara says that can't be Rava's answer, that the husband is able to give this over as a present to his wife. The Brisa says that he can't. Now the Ram points out, as most of you are probably thinking, Dira Masa Esa Ravina Ravashi, Lav La Suve La Rav. This isn't the Kasha on Rav. This Rav's explanation of Rav Meir isn't being a problem here. The below Rav, Nami Kasha, Masniso Adodi. We have a problem here, regardless of Rav, we have a problem that the Brisa and the Mishnah aren't the same. Ella, Lemidche Piruke de Rav also. The purpose of this is to say that this can't be the understanding that Rav is giving us to be correct, because Rav is saying that we view the Mishnah Erevin as if it's a present. So then why don't we view the Brisa as also if it's a present from the husband to the wife to be Mizak on behalf of everybody else? So the problem is not on Rav. The Ran explains the problem that Ravina is asking to Ravashi is there seems to be a steer over here between the way Rav understood the Mishnah and the way the Brisa Beferish states. And therefore, the Gemara says, Ravashi says to Ravina, Elo Amara Ravashi, Ravashi says, this is the way you have to understand it. Masnisin, our Mishnah, which talks about Shitufe Mavoyos, this is Bishyesh law, Chotzer Biosa Mavoyaskinon. We're dealing with the wife has a separate ownership of one of the apartments. She is a resident as well as the wife of her husband. She also has an apartment that her husband doesn't own, that she owns in this Mavoy. And therefore, she owns an apartment, she owns a chotzer in that neighborhood. And therefore, the migo, the zachyol and afsha, since she's able to acquire on her own behalf the share in the barrel of wine, because she's a separate resident in that community, just like she could acquire it on her own behalf, zachyol leacharine, she can also acquire it for all the other people. And we see this in the Ran, in the Ramatsu El Amor Ravashi. He says, Kikitani Mizakul Hen Ayde Ishto, when that Mishnah, and Aaron said that the wife can go and acquire it on behalf of all the other people, Dafka, it's only talking about a case, Bishyesh Lo Chotzer Biosa Mavoy, that she does have a separate apartment, a separate Chotzer in that Mavoy. For example, Kagon Shenof Lo Birusha, that it fell to her in the Yerusha, Ba'oda Arusa, while she was still in Arusa, and therefore, Who Kosav Lo Ba'oda Arusa, and her husband wrote to her while she was still in Arusa, I don't want to have anything to do with that apartment, that's yours. Din Udvarim, Ein Li B'Nechosech, that apartment remains totally yours. I'm not entitled to the rental income on it, it's your apartment. The Bechi Agavne, only in this situation, Mahani, does the wife have the ability to go and acquire the Shita Mavoyos on behalf of everybody else, because she can acquire it on behalf of herself. So, Migo, that she can acquire it on behalf of herself, the Zachya L'Nasha, therefore, Zachya L'Achrini. She's able to go and acquire it for all the other people in the courtyard. And that's the only way that that Mishnah works. But in general, the wife cannot acquire it on behalf of anybody else, and that's how Ravashi reconciles the Mishnah and the Brisa. Okay, let's go a little bit weiter. The next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, the Neder Amona Ugrusha, the whole Pasuk is, Kol Asher Osro Al Nafsha Yokum Olah. So the end of the Pasuk is quoted here in the Mishnah, Yokum Olah. So what does this mean? Ketzad. How do we understand this pasuk? So the Mishnah tells us, Amra, if a woman says, Hareini nazira li'achar shloshim yom, a woman says, I wish to be a nazira, but not right now. I want the naziras to start in 30 days. And right now, she is either a almana or a grusha. She doesn't have a husband at this point in time. She's either nebuch a widow or she's nebuch divorced. So there's nobody that can be bay for her in the dark. She was once fully married. She's in a suah. So the father, even if she's below the age of bagris, would not return and have the rights to be made for her in the dark. So this is a woman who makes a neder that will take effect in 30 days. She says, I will be in a zira in 30 days. Right now, she's an almana or she's a grusha. However, this neder will take effect in 30 days. So afa pishenises besok shloshim yom. Even were she to become married within this 30-day period of time. So at the point that she's married, the neder hasn't yet kicked in. Nevertheless, her new husband, ain yochel hofer. According to the Tanakhama of Amishnah, her husband would not be able to go and be made for this neder. The Ran explains in Dibra Masklo, the neder almano grusha, and he says, the vaday kro lohoch yosu, the pasuk of neder almano ugrusha is coming to teach us this din. The e below nises, loma itzruch kro, if she doesn't get remarried, so then I don't need a pasuk to tell me. She's essentially a woman who doesn't have a husband or a father that can be made for her in the dark. She is a regular, adult, unmarried woman, doesn't have a husband or a father that can be made for her in the dark. And therefore, I wouldn't need the pasuk. Lomar, it's the kral, lomar, the yokum olel, that her husband cannot go and be makayim her in the dark. There will be yokum olel. They'll still remain upon her. She doesn't have a husband, so of course there's yokum olel. So therefore, pshita, mon meferlo, who's going to go be made for in the dark? Elabade, the Ran says, we're dealing here that when she originally made the neder, she didn't have a husband. But nises, within the 30-day period of time that the neder is going to take effect at 30 days, during that first 30-day period of time, she gets married. And therefore, it's ruchloma. That's why we need the pasuk. The kiva, loma, the kiva, should not draw but old almana. Shouldn't she make the neder while she was still an almana, or grusha, or even, this would apply as well, the Mefarshim explained, the Ran says, it applies even that she wasn't married ever, but as long as she's a bogeris, her father wouldn't have the rights to go and be made for an adarim. So afal pi she'omra she'ichol neder li'achal lamed yom, even though the neder isn't taking effect yet, the neder will only take effect after she's married in 30 days. Ki nisis li'achar mikain eino mefer. Even though she's married to somebody else, he's not able to go and be made for that neder. Why? The Tanakhama of Amishnah holds, Mishum de Basar Amira Azlinun. You go after the time that she made the neder, Shinodra, Kodem Shinesis. And she made this neder before she got married, the Ain Abal Mefer Bakodbin. And this is called Kodbin. This is called a prior neder, and the husband doesn't have the right to go and be made for that neder. However, the Mishnah continues on. We go to Pei Tesef and Aleph. We now have the opposite scenario. What happens if Nodra, she makes the Nedra, and she's married at that time? Vibirishus Habal. So then the husband obviously is allowed to be made for her Nadar. But it can't be telling us that straightforward then. We know that. So therefore, Ketzer, what's the Chiddush over here of the Mishnah? Nodra, Vibirishus Habal, Mefer La. After we're going through the first 90 blot over here, so we know that the husband can be made for her in the dark. So that can't be what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is. So Ketzer, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah over here? So the Mishnah is telling us, if she's married at the time that she makes the neder, Omra, Hareini Nazira v'leachar shloshim yom. But she says, I only want to be a Nazira after 30 days. And Aval pishinis almano onis garisha b'so shloshim and nebuch. Even though her husband passes away before the 30 days are up, or her husband divorces her before the 30 days are up, nevertheless, his hafara, if he's made for that neder before he dies, before he divorces her, harei zeh mufar. It works. That is a valid hafara that the husband did. And the Ran explains, and the Ran is found on Pei Ches Omid Beis at the bottom. The Ran holds, the Bosser Shas Amira Azlinan, like he held in the Reisha, Mishum the Bosser Amira Azlinan, you go after when she makes the neder, so Tovia, you go after when she makes the neder. And this is Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. So the Tana of Amishnah, the Tana Kama in our Mishnah is consistent. He always says you go after Amira. Last case of the Mishnah. Nodra Boba Yom, if a woman makes a neder at 10 o'clock in the morning. She makes a neder early in the morning. And then Nebuch, Beniskarsha Boba Yom, her husband divorces her at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then he says, what an idiot I am. Why did I divorce that lady? Have zero Boba Yom. He's allowed to go back and remarry her that very day. At 12 o'clock, he remarries her. So again, 10 o'clock, she makes the neder. 11 o'clock, he divorces her. 12 o'clock, he remarries her. So it's still biyom shamo. Nevertheless, ain't a yochel offer. He's not able to go and be made for a neder the second time he marries her. If he had been made for the neder before he divorced her, it would have worked, as we pointed out in the second part of the Mishnah. But here in the last part of the Mishnah, it comes to teach us the following din. Zaklal, this is the halacha. Kol sheyotzeh l'rishus atzmo sho'achas. If she went off into her own domain, even for 1 hour, again, he divorced her at 11, so between 11 and 12, she's in her own domain, no longer can he be made for her at 12 o'clock, even though it's biyom shamo, and yochel hofer. He can't go back and be made for her nidar. This is a good break point. We'll, Im Sashem, pick this up tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's share.